pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Hour number two now underway. 251-343-0106. You want to get in touch with the program, that text line, that's where you do it. Taking all queries today. There's a good mix of responses. So we'll get to those in due course, but keep them coming. I do appreciate the feedback. Coming up on the show, about a half hour, News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery, April Maury Fogle. Then in the 11 o'clock hour, our returning champion from Josephine, State Senator Chris Elliott. So please make sure you stay tuned for that. Joining us now, I haven't talked to him in a while, but always a pleasure. You can find him at jpepper.substack.com. But Pepper Breyers joins us on the line. Pepper, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Jeff. I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Well, I found this just remarkable, and I imagine people are knocking on down your door to like I was trying to get you on here, but since we seemed in the state worship at the altar of Richard Shelby, but you got an amazing headline here. Alabama Senator's wealth increases 3,200% during 44 years in Congress. So I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say that probably outpaces inflation. But going from a net worth of $700,000 and now potentially worth more than $23 million. Talk about this a little bit. The getting to this and where this has led you.
Yeah. So first off, you know, nobody's making any allegations that Senator Shelby earned that wealth illegally or unethically, but it just shines a light on two big problems that some people have with Congress. One, that they seem to go there and stay there for an incredibly long time. Senator Shelby's case, 44 years. And during that time, they seem to coincidentally become millionaires in the process. Or if they have a little money when they come in, their portfolios only increase while they're in Congress. We don't want people to be poor. You know, in America, we love people to make money and become wealthy and earn the fruits of their labor. And people that are going to be our best lawmakers are also going to be shrewd businessmen. They're going to be they're going to earn wealth. But when we have them in control of such important parts of our government and they have access to information that the rest of us don't have, we've got to have greater controls over what they can do with their money.
Yeah, I this is a discussion that's been ongoing for a while, and I guess people are watching a little closer now. I mean, some of the ways are easier to track, the stock trades and things like that, but I mean, you don't just make money on Wall Street. There's all kinds of other ways to earn wealth, and that's what it looks like in the case of, I'm not saying that that's the case of Shelby, but it looks like that's the case with a lot of other members of Congress who have seen their wealth increase over the years during their service.
Okay, so what we have I think your listeners would understand what insider trading is, and that's our stock market is based on the fundamental aspect of it is everybody trades on publicly available information. If we knew that somebody had information that a company was about to release an earnings report that showed they just had a very bad quarter and their stock was going to go down, and so that person was about to sell their stock earlier than the rest of us, nobody would have trust in the market, and the whole thing would be a con game, right? So it's illegal for people to trade on insider information. But what happens in Congress, just by virtue of their job, they have insider information either by two ways. One, they oversee several important parts of our economy. They write the laws that turn into policies, that turn into regulations that people out there end up having, companies end up having to follow. Not only, and then they approve spending bills that buy things like ships, vaccines, huge billions of dollars worth of spending. But then they hear about things through briefings, through classified pieces of information. And, you know, I think then we're asking them to separate that knowledge from how they act with their money. And I think that's where our understanding of human nature comes into play. I think we should hope and we should expect our lawmakers to all be virtuous. But how do you unring a bell in somebody's mind when, say, they have money, I don't know, in an oil company, and they get a classified briefing and they say, oh, wow, the stock's about to drop in that oil company. I'm not a very wealthy man. That stock was actually going to be part of the inheritance I passed along with my children. Am I supposed to just let it sit there and am I supposed to ride it down? Or can I sell it right now? I think we need to take that choice away from our lawmakers. I think it's too much to expect people to be virtuous all the time with their money. And it's a saying, there's a thing out there called a blind trust. And it's what a lot of people seek to try to solve this problem. It's essentially you go to Congress, and if you've got a stock portfolio, you got some stocks out there, you turn them over to a trustee, some smart person at a bank or, you know, at a fund advisory, and you approve a set of instructions broadly. Hey, this is kind of broadly what I want you to do. And then you're not allowed to look at what they do. They just tell you if you're doing good or bad, and you kind of check in at it when you're out of whatever period of time you're in office. You can't direct them to buy or sell anything. There's a bill in Congress to actually do that. Sadly, last time I checked, nobody from Alabama is a co-sponsor of it.
The Pelosi Act, Josh Hawley's got, he's been talking about it a lot. Pepper, there's something though that, you know, it's not just the stock markets. It's not just the bond or whatever markets where they could have insider information though. Like, you see these guys, especially a lot of these members of Congress, they're wealthy in land, and maybe they're speculating in real estate, or maybe there's other places, or they have it's not even a result of their job where they get like inside intel. They have people that tell them, hey, you know, they want to curry favor with power, so they give them tips and stuff like that. I mean, there's all these different ways for members of Congress and other people in political office to accumulate wealth that the average American doesn't have the same opportunity, same ability to.
Yeah, it's almost like osmosis in a way. Say, most members of Congress, that's not their only job. They usually get there having done something else. They might run a trucking business, or they might run a real estate business or whatever. And they might run a small law firm. Well, once they become a congressman or a senator, that law firm, you know, over the years suddenly starts getting a lot more business. It might be ethical. It might be like, they might be doing a good job, right? They might be serving their clients well. It might be all on the up and up. But the fact that a lawmaker, a big time, a big fish is in the shop, his name is on the board or whatever, he may not even be involved with it anymore, except, you know, just getting a check from it. It just draws attention. It draws influence. And that's how it's kind of like a snowball effect. The longer they're in office, the more influence they have, the more people want to, you know, have access to that influence, the more money tends to flow around them. The bigger that snowball gets, the more opportunities for corruption, the more suspicious it looks. Like I said, there's nothing that I've seen that looks like any of this wealth that Shelby earned was suspicious. I just highlight it to say, look, half of our Congress is full of millionaires, and they get there and they earn this amount and they walk out and they're worth that amount. You know, it's just, it's too big of a giant mess to kind of figure out, but just standing back and looking at the forest, it certainly looks suspicious. And I really wish we could, you know, institute some major changes. Like, one, I wish these guys wouldn't serve so damn long, right? Go up there, serve a couple, 3-4 terms, and come back home and do something else. You're not the only person in the state who can do your job, for Pete's sake. And secondly, put your assets in a blind trust. Separate yourself from it. Protect yourself from human nature, if only to give yourself to be an example, and you know, not have the appearance of it, and to show people, hey, look, I'm on the up and up. You're not going to be able. Don't even try to buy me. Don't even try to influence me, because you can't. Because I put all my stuff in a blind trust. I'm here to do the people's work. Get out of my way.
Yeah,
I would love to see that.
A lot of people think that they have to do, but they don't have to do that. I mean, they, you know, that there's no prohibition on the business of as usual. There are people that can watch it. They have to publicly disclose it, but there's no obligation that a lawmaker say, hey, I'm going to put this in a blind trust. I'm going to do the right thing. They're just, like you said, while this looks improper or seems weird, there's no law here. And these guys are they're unlikely, I would say, to pass a law against themselves to regulate themselves.
No, I mean, the most we have are those disclosure reports. And that's how I wrote this article. You know, and I dug into it and I was able to see how much, you know, this is worth. And they have some trades, you know, like Tommy Tuberville, I think a couple of years ago, he bought and sold some article. Don't hold me to this, but he was a newspaper was saying that he bought and sold some trades of some defense contractors. I believe he was on the Armed Services Committee, and some people said that was improper. He said that he didn't have anything to do with those trades. That was his stockbroker. But that's not the same as a blind trust. Saying that your broker executed trades without your knowledge, just, you know, kind of at your broad discretion, is not the same as a blind trust. If you can tell your stockbroker to buy and sell something, that's not a blind trust. A blind trust is you can't at all. And that's what we need to get to.
Well, something they do, and there's a lot of confusion about this, but you'll see these reports about how they beat the lawmakers, how they compare against the S&P 500. They use that as a baseline. But, like, sometimes, and they did to Mo Brooks, like, he beat it by, like, 200%, but, like, the amount of money he had invested was minuscule. So he made, you know, a few thousand dollars, but he still beat it by a big margin. So, like, we need a good there's so much out there floating around that doesn't really give us a clear understanding, I think, a lot of people, a clear understanding of just, you know, how this whole racket works.
Yeah. It's sunlight is the best disinfectant, right? We just need greater access to it. And, you know, I understand, like, the more we have to pry into somebody's financial life, the less quality candidates we're going to get. I mean, very few people want to stand for office right now anyway. So why would you, you know, I make this point in the article, you know, this is kind of a catch-22. If you have to become poor and not earn a living to go be a congressman, who are we going to get to do it? I mean, you got to maintain residences in both places. And, you know, the salary is $175 a year for a senator or congressman, which is a lot of cash, folks. But if you're raising 4 or 5 kids and you got to keep a house in Alabama, a house in Washington, D.C., which is crazy expensive up there, and you're trying to do retirement and you're trying to take care of your kids and your grandkids and all this. That's not you know, crazy Monopoly Man money. That money can dry up quick. So, you know, if we don't want to dig deeply into their finances, that's why I think this blind trust is the best way. Say, look, we're not going to do this financial audit of you and dig into all of your stuff like, you know, like crazy. Put it into a trust. Let's just take it off the board and then just call it good. Then we don't have to worry about it. And as far as that snowball effect that I was talking about, the longer somebody stands, there's no way to avoid that. Somebody gets into office, they get power and influence, people want to glom around them, and whatever assets they have out in the world suddenly start getting wealthier. The only solution to that is to have them not be in office forever. And that's term limits. I mean, somebody stays in office for 40 years, it's crazy. That's right. Too long. 44 years.
Fair enough. Hey, Pepper, we got to get out of here. Before I let you go, how do folks find your Substack or anywhere else online to take away or check out your book or any of that?
Yeah, easiest thing is just to go to Google and type J. Pepper Briers. It'll take you to my Substack. It'll take you to my books on Amazon.
Pepper, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to you.
All right, thanks, Jeff.
No problem. All right, guys, we got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Bohr Show on FM Talk 106.5. 40-hour week for living. Just to send it on down.